Blog Talk Radio.
The Four Persons Inc. is a federally registered and licensed 501c3 charity. Any use of any of our content without our permission is prohibited by law. Our purpose is evangelization, education, and social action. Please go to our website at thefourpersons.com or our blog site at thefourpersons.net to make your tax-deductible donation by credit or debit card. You can also send a check to The Four Persons, Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. To contact us, send us an email at email@thefourpersons.com. Now, welcome to the Catholicism Rocks show, brought to you by our friends at CatholicismRocks.com. This is our weekly show promoting the site built on the notion that there is nothing on earth better than being a Catholic. Something big is about to hit the Four Persons.
Know you there, God.
She has already recorded our theme song. We are already friends and supporters of each other's ministries. Now, Lisa Marie Nicole is officially joining us as a show host, and we could not be more thrilled. The demand for appearances on the Rocking for God show has been extraordinary, including a very significant guest for the kickoff show. Lisa Marie Nicole, Rocking for God, on the Four Persons Network. It's coming October 7th. Don't miss it.
And we are definitely looking forward to kicking that show off. We just added a preview show, just letting you know we're going to be doing a preview show on the 3rd, that's a Tuesday. So Lisa's going to kind of preview what her upcoming show is going to be about, and we're going to play a couple of songs, and then we kick it off officially on Saturday, October 7th, which is the Feast of Our Lady of Victory, or Our Lady of the Rosary. And real excited about that. We're waiting for Cherry Mallorca to call in tonight with for Catalysis Rocks, and that's in process. She should be calling in any minute. Meanwhile, let me welcome, hold on a second.
Hello?
Yeah, are you there?
I'm here, brother.
All right, I was just trying to make sure I had the connection. Luis Segundo is with us. How you doing, Luis?
It's a pleasure. I'm happy to return as, you know, co-host. Well, not, you know, when I'm needed. But I'm happy to be here. I find it a pleasure. I find it a very strong service to Christ, Ave Maria. I'm very happy just growing in the faith, you know, collecting Catholic books, too. I have an entire list. I'm very excited for next month. I'll be ordering them. How are you, brother?
Doing good. What are you reading now?
Right now, I'm trying to go through the Didache, which is probably the second most important Catholic book right after the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Did you happen to listen to William Hemsworth's two-part show on that?
Not yet.
Okay.
But
I'll send you the links. He did a two-part show on the Didache. You might find it very informative. I'll send you the links to it.
I would love to listen to it. I mean, it's just, again, right after the Bible, it's the most, you know, important Catholic book. And, you know,
yep.
I would say, you know, it's the first catechism from the Catholic Church.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
I want to add to my collection. How are you? What are you reading, brother?
Doing good. I'm reading a book that Luke recommended to me called Love is Letting Go of Fear. So it's a short little book. I've only gotten about a third of the way through it, so I'm not sure what I think about it yet. But anyway, let's welcome Cherry Mallorca, Catholicism Rocks. Cherry, how you doing today? Cherry, can you hear us? Cherry, if you're there, you might have your microphone turned off. We're not hearing you. Is your microphone
muted?
Yes,
brother. I'm trying to see if you can hear me. Jerry,
I
hear
you. She just dropped. I think she's going to try to reconnect.
Okay.
So, have you been looking at Catholicism Rocks in this Halloween writing contest? I was wondering if you had the chance to take a look at that.
Is that directed to me?
Yeah.
Can you repeat that one more time, please?
The Halloween writing contest. Let me bring Cherry back on. Cherry, can you hear us?
Hi. I am here now, but can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now. So, Cherry, why don't you start off by talking about the Halloween writing contest?
I'm sorry. Come again?
The
Halloween writing contest.
Ah, yeah, about the Halloween contest is, the details are actually found in the website of the catholicismrocks.com. This is a writing contest of the story for a Halloween for the perspective of the Catholics. So we all know that the people in Halloween are wearing costumes and making scary stories. Now, how are we going to make this something positive and to promote that, you know, trust in the Lord? In the Philippines, actually, we changed instead of wearing a scary costume, we are encouraging the children to wear costumes of the saints. So they're going to showcase the costumes of their favorite saints. And speaking of the saints, today we are actually celebrating the feast of the first Filipino saint, Saint Lorenzo Ruiz, a martyr.
Oh, okay.
A catechist. So during the Halloween, most of the, you know, in the commercial business are promoting these costumes of like ghosts, but in a Catholic school like us in San Beda, we are trying to make like a paradigm shift in wearing the costumes. The children are going to have ask Candy, but they're going to wear the costumes of their saints, like Saint Therese of the Child Jesus or Saint Clare. So they're going to showcase and tell why they want to be like them. So it's a promotion of a Halloween, a Halloween, instead
so
of
how long are these stories supposed to be, the stories that are being submitted? I mean, how long of
actually,
a story are they looking for?
Actually, it should start already, and it will started already, and there is a time until October 7th, within the deadline of submission, and that story that will be picked will be published in the website.
No, I don't mean how long is the contest going. I mean, how long should the story be? The story that somebody writes, how long should it be? Like, how many pages?
Wait. I am not sure about the pages yet, but maybe not more than 5 minutes reading, so not that long.
Okay.
And it's not actually the length, but it's the content of the story that would be judged by those who will be doing this.
So a little short story. Luis, back to you. Talk about the history, because, you know,
Halloween is actually like a lot of great holidays like Christmas. Halloween is also a Catholic holiday. It was just secularized. I think Taylor Marshall did an excellent explanation. Halloween's its true name is called Hallows Eve, All Hallows Eve. And it was a day to remember and celebrate the saints. So I think it's very appropriate for the Philippines to be not even, a lot of people will say it's changing Halloween, but it's quite the opposite. It's actually reverting Halloween back to what it always was intended to be. A day to remember the departed, those who are now in heaven, the saints.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just great. It pains me to see how many holidays have been secularized. Even a Protestant friend who's actually on the road of Catholicism acknowledged that many of our holidays, half of them come from the Catholic Church, Christmas, Halloween, St. Patrick's Day, St. Valentine's Day. One moment, please.
All right. Oh, by the way, John, so the deadline is on October 15. So this is from the web page. You're invited to our Halloween writing contest, ready to show off your spooky and spiritual writing skills. The deadline of submission of entry is on October 15.
And what else is going on over there at Catholicism Rocks? What else is going on over there?
We're going to have also the Rosary Challenge, and we are going to nominate some the friends or the people that we know to pray the rosary with us. And we're going to take a video of that rosary, and we will publish that also to encourage people around the world. So there will be connections, like from the Philippines, I will be nominating you to pray with me, and then we'll pray together, and then we will have it video posted in the website, and also then you will nominate another person to pray the rosary, and this will be continued until the end of October, as the mm-hmm. rosary month is October. All right, so this is the Halloween story competition in a Catholic, from a Catholic perspective. So this will be hosted on Catholicism Rocks website. And we are going to ask you to share your thoughts on how to celebrate the holiday in a way that honors our faith, or write a spine-tingling tale that includes Catholic themes. The winning entries will be published on the Catholicism website, and the author will also receive a blessed prayer card with a second-class relic of a saint. So I hope that you will not miss this opportunity to showcase your talent and deepen your faith by writing a fiction. It can be a fiction or non-fiction, and the deadline of submission is on October 15. Please submit your entry starting today. All right.
All right. And what's going on in your ministry now? Anything new?
Wow. Thank you for asking. Tomorrow, I'm going to have a special event, and I am inviting you, but because you can't make it, I understand. This is a celebration of life, as I am going to be on a new milestone in my life, celebration of friends, as I invited my friends from different countries that I have met in social media, as we are going to promote each and everyone's ministry. So this will be with musical showcase. Some people who are having their music ministry will also showcase their ministry. Like, I have invited the founder, the author, and the singer of the Angelus Music, no other than Brother John Bitts, but I'm not sure if he can make it, but he allowed me to use his music. It's very, you know, inspiring. We can use it for retreat. Others will be from healing ministry, like Anthony Nayagan, and a lot more. So I hope that you will join us. This will be in live streaming in my Facebook page. Yes. So I hope you can join us.
I will be at work, but if I can get a couple of minutes to drop in, I will. I'll certainly do that. Are you working on any more video projects or anything like that?
I'm back, by the way. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, no problem. Go ahead, Terry. Are you working on any video projects or anything?
I have a 30-day challenge, actually, journey with Mother Mary. So every day I try to post a video about Mother Mary, like her feast days started it off from La Nina Maria, Mother Mary, when she was a child. And then I have also included there another title, Our Lady of Peña Francia, Our Lady of Maria Ina Puon Bato, our native image of Mother Mary, Our Lady of Montserrat. And every day I'm trying to reflect on these important images of Mother Mary in our life. But sometimes I also do a live video reflection, just like yesterday. I wasn't able to post a video, but instead I went to a live streaming and contemplating on the mysteries of the rosary. So yesterday was a mystery of glory. So I shared with my audience, with my followers, that I was in the mysteries of glory because of the good news that I was already, I received already a notification from Facebook that I have the qualification to have this in ad streaming. So that's a good news for my ministry, so that I can have funds for the videos that I will be making. I need to have really some gadgets, some platforms that I can use to produce quality videos. All right.
Awesome. And Lewis, you're still on the front lines with Luke Haskell and others doing battle with the anti-Catholics and social media, correct?
That is fully correct. And I've also taken it to Discord, but I'm still mostly doing it on Facebook. And it's a battle. They're very stubborn. We made a joke, but I don't think we're a Protestant or evangelical. It's like talking to a wall. They never listen to responses. and again, they've been brainwashed and conditioned so much that no matter what you tell them, it's always going to be the same answer. There's just no nice way of saying it. It's almost like trying to argue with a mentally ill person.
Right.
Sometimes I question maybe I'm a fool for even trying to get through to them. But I try, and hopefully we'll get somewhere. We were arguing with this a gentleman that goes by the name of Sergeant Online, and another one that names himself 66 after the 66 man-made Protestant canon. Again, he was silencing all the Catholics and all the Eastern Orthodox because, you know, he would attack us for praying to the saints, our Marian dogma, and he would never listen to any other responses. He was still desperate over, for example, things like the canon. We tried to tell him the Protestants were the first to eliminate the seven Deuteronomical books, and he was like, but weren't there, like, early Christians that doubted them? We were like, sure, but that was basically to all Old Testament books were doubted and called into question. But it was the church as a whole, the church fathers, the bishops, the successors of the apostles, coming together through the Holy Spirit, through the which is the magisterium, that determined they were valid. So, you know, this is prior to the schism between Catholics and Orthodox. This was just that we were in full unity. We determined that they were fully valid. So there was no church that ever denied them until Protestants showed up. And the guy was so desperate, but they were individuals. And we kept trying to tell them, yes, individuals, but ultimately it was not just up to the individual, and ultimately it was not personal to those seven books. They were all called into question. But the guy just kept recycling the same argument until we all just gave up and left.
Right. So just letting everybody know, everybody is listening in, some of the things that are going to be coming up on the four persons. Tomorrow, we have Terry Delp on with Taking It to the Streets, and we're going to kind of be talking about the charism of infallibility and when it's, you know, the Pope is speaking infallibly and officially as a matter of doctrine or discipline, or when he's just giving his own opinion. So we're going to have a discussion about that. Now, that's tomorrow.
You know the funny thing about infallibility? That Protestants, I can't believe they don't get it. For example, like going back to the Old Testament, infallibility was shown with Moses. Moses was a prophet that directly spoke to God frequently. And whenever Moses was, you know, told to do or say something directly from God, well, that's showing what we call, similar to what we believe with papal infallibility. It's Moses being a vessel, you know, of God speaking to his people. So they understand that Moses was never wrong when God was speaking through him, you know. But they can't understand that same logic applies to the Pope, too. Where, you know, in regards to papal infallibility, and I just don't get it.
Right.
Similar to how there was a chair of Moses, there ended up being a chair of Peter. Do you see where I'm going, John?
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Chair.
Sorry for cutting you off.
Yeah, that would be an interesting topic, infallibility of the Pope, because nowadays many are actually questioning Pope Francis. Yeah, but you know, I am not really that into apologetics, because in my opinion, personal opinion, salvation is not a matter of reason, it is a matter of experience, and unless we experience our faith, it will remain philosophy, but we will not be saved by a philosophy. So yeah, I am not closing my door in argument, especially when our religion is questioned, especially when our faith is being, you know, questioned by other religion. But I'm also opening my door for I am not into more on argument, but I am more into trying to be opening minds and doors, because we have only one God, especially the Christians. There are a lot of Christians denomination, but I think it's better for us to unite and meet halfway so that Jesus will be happier instead of, you know, fighting and telling who is right and who is wrong. But this is only from my personal perspective. I really admire
you. You have the right intention,
yeah.
But the way we unite and get them to, you know, work with us is by showing them that not only are we not heretics, we were the first Christians. I know what you mean, and you do have good intentions, but Protestants, because they don't look at us as Christians, even though if anyone at best isn't Christians, it wouldn't be us, it would be them, because they came from us. And they're very quick to modify God's words. The only way that they will respect us, and I've had it happen to me, is if we show them that we are Christians and the first Christians. So it's not that we want to argue with them just so for pride. We want to show them through logic and reasoning, through the Holy Spirit and Scripture and the sacred tradition, that we're not the bad guys, that we're good, you know.
Yeah.
And
so
to that
you,
point,
you know,
go ahead.
And the word Christian, actually, I'm sad when my students, when I ask them, what is your religion? Teacher, I am Christian. Yeah, but I am Christian too. All those who are believers of Jesus are Christians. But we have to be honestly that the word Christian now became generic. Why? There is a Catholic Christian, there is a Protestant Christian, born-again Christians, evangelical Christians. We are all Christians, but in a generic, there's always a brand, the best brand, and I believe that the Catholic Christians, but even the Catholic has the Roman Catholic, the Orthodox Catholics. Yeah, I don't know why these Christians are claiming that they are Christians and we Catholics are non-Christians. But yeah, that's also why we have apologetics. We have apologists like you guys, and I really salute your ministry and your goal of defending our Catholicism, our Catholic faith, Christian. We are the first Christians.
So Friday morning, we're going to be playing a pre-recorded episode on the Catholic Ken Apologetics Show, and it's a show that me and Ken actually recorded on Tuesday. It's going to be playing on Friday, and it's a kind of a question and answer session going back to what Lewis was saying, is these are questions that have been posed by Protestants, by non-Catholics, about why Catholics believe certain things, and we have an hour-long show kind of answering some of those questions. And then Friday evening, we're going to be interviewing Maria Bain. She's an author with JMJ Publishing, and we're going to be talking to her about her book, The Glory of God. That's Friday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and then Saturday at noon Eastern, it's the return of the Burnt Toast and Coffee Show with William Hemsworth. So that's just some of the stuff that's coming up. So going back to what you're experiencing, as we're getting closer to October and everything, and it's kind of ironic that the Protestant Revolt started on October 31st, and that's kind of when the day, which was a holy day, as you said, All Hallows Eve, kind of took evil connotations, and the devil always apes the church and turns something good into something evil. How, Luis, do you think that we turn All Hallows Eve back into something holy again?
I think that would be a great idea. And it's an excellent way to fight Protestantism and all its confusion with charity. I mean, like, we do it against accurate explanations of Scripture and sacred tradition, and also just church history, too. Hello?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yes, yeah. We're listening.
Well, I hear you.
I mean,
are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm very looking. How are you guys looking forward to Nicaea 2025?
I don't really know that much about it at this point. Why don't you tell us?
It's from what I've known, it's a big, big deal. It's an ecumenical council based on the council that happened, I believe, 700 years ago in the year, which will be at the year. It will be 700 years in the year 2025. The Council of Nicaea, or 1,000 years or something around that. But the Catholic Church and the Orthodox churches will be having a council, which is a very big deal, John. One of the patriarchs of the Catholic, of the Orthodox churches, he recognizes the Pope as valid. Well, technically by doctrine they have to, but they want to talk things out and see if they can resolve some of their differences and work towards reunification. The Orthodox, unlike our Protestants, they are much closer to the truth, you know, because, you know, they're the Christians that are most like Catholics. And it's wonderful to see us, you know, coming closer and closer to becoming one again. In fact, one of the patriarchs, I don't know what his name was, but he said it, Catholic and Orthodox reunification is inescapable. And I find that very beautiful. Christianity will return to what it was the same way it broke apart. It always started with, you know, the one and only Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. The Orthodox, they broke up from us first, then the Protestants. And in the same way that they broke off, they're returning to us. And I find that, you know, something we look forward to. Because,
I think,
you know, go ahead.
Well, I think the Eucharistic Congress is, the Eucharistic revival is a good stepping off point to that. Because if that's something that we need in the church, I mean, I heard a poll recently that said that 2/3 of American Catholics don't believe in the real presence, which is just astounding to me.
We have our lukewarms, John, and lukewarms will always be the high majority. Protestants aren't any different. I saw an article that says that most American Protestants don't believe in faith alone, but faith alone was one of the pillars that Protestantism started with.
Right.
So again, that shows, you know, it's not just us, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't have to work towards fixing the problem. But one of the things that was foretold to happen is that we would be put down to only the true and faithful Catholics, and I think that that's in a way a good thing. What's your opinion? What are your thoughts, guys?
Well, I'll let Cherry go first. Cherry, what do you think?
Yeah, I was just reading that the first Council of Nicaea happened in 325, and yeah, this is a great day for this unification of the church. But I know that the church is like, yeah, we are always facing some issues of questions. Each and every group now, Protestants, are questioning about our authority, the authority of the church. But yes, we have the history. We can prove them all of this, that indeed we are the true religion. But somehow along the way, there are some issues that we have to handle also. And this is the proof that going back in around 400 or 300 years, there were no Protestants yet. There were no other religion. There were no evangelists. And that is in the history. Not just in the history. We can prove them because the relics, the remains of the apostles who are the eyewitnesses of Jesus can be found in our church. But there's always a conflict. Jesus was not actually spared from these questions by the elders in the church, by the people who are working in the church. So let us just continue working for the glory of God. But yeah, as what I have said, our Pope is really also doing an excellent job. He is doing his best to improve and to face the world, not only the anti-Catholics, but even those who are non-Christians. because that is, I believe, Jesus wants us, because Jesus, God, is not an exclusive person. He is inclusive. He is embracing all, even the non-Christians, even the non-believers of Jesus Christ.
And I just found an article online from a Catholic news agency about it's the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea. Will be up in 2025. This looks like a big deal. I'm going to do a lot more reading about it, but it looks like a big step forward. So, just letting you know, I'm hearing this for the whole show. I've been hearing some kind of background noise. Lewis and Sherry, are you hearing that? Like a humming sound?
No. I can't hear that. I'm so sorry, gentlemen, John, Edward. I have to go because I have a class today. The day is actually morning, 7:35 a.m. in the morning, and my class will start at 7:50.
Okay.
So
just real quick,
I really
before
love,
you leave,
yeah.
before
yeah,
you leave,
really
let everyone know. Let everyone know where they can find Catholicism Rocks.
All right. So Catholicism Rocks are also available. We have a newsletter actually at LinkedIn. I am posting also some different blogs and videos in the Catholicism Rocks in LinkedIn. We have the page there. Rachel and Sean give me the authority to manage it. So I am one of the administrator there. And also Catholicism Rocks, of course, we have the Facebook page, the Catholicism Rocks group, Messenger. And you can find us also in the Twitter, Instagram. And this is for the Catholic people who are willing to promote the faith and build bridges of prayer across the world. So this is not just in U.S., in Ireland, in Canada, in the Philippines, but we are inviting you all guys from different places of the world, different countries to join us. Let us unite as a Catholic. Let us be vigilant with our faith. And let us also not just aspire to be famous, to be known, but inspire. I believe that God wants us to inspire one another. Amen. So,
amen. Well, have a good luck with your class.
All right. Thank you, and happy feast day to our own Saint Lorenzo Ruiz, the first Filipino saint. Thank you for this time. Thank you for having me. God bless us all. And please watch and join us in my event tomorrow at 8 o'clock. In the evening in the Philippines. I believe that's early morning in your place.
Okay.
Thank you. God bless you.
And all right. Bye. God bless.
See you later.
And Luis, going back to your battles online, what are the principal issues that you guys are debating now?
The principal issue is always the canon of Scripture, sola scriptura, and getting Protestants to admit that they're divided. We were, for example, online, those two gentlemen that I'd mentioned, they were attacking Catholics and Orthodox for, you know, splitting over, like, the filioque and ancestral and original sin. And he said the Protestants basically implied that Protestants don't have that same issue, if not worse. And I'm like, well, everybody started calling him out in the ninth and on his nonsense. We referenced the fact that all Protestant churches are not in communion with each other. All the mutual hatred, all the mutual fighting since the beginning of the Reformation. He was like, but we still consider each other brothers. I was like, do you guys? Because you guys attack each other a lot and call each other heretics and not real Christians. I don't understand how you can, you know, say all that stuff and consider yourselves in the same team.
It's pure sophistry. That's all he's engaging in. So, you know that recently we had on Carl Keating, right, as a guest?
Yes.
And we're about to have on the debut of Lisa Marie Nicole show, we're going to have Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And shortly after that, we're going to have Mike Aquilina. And we also have Dr. Scott Hahn is going to be making an appearance on our show, although
You're kidding me, him?
No, I'm not kidding you. I just don't know. We don't know the date yet. So we can't formally announce it yet because we don't know the date that it's going to be yet.
Dr. Scott Hahn is legendary in the Catholic world. He was a big convert to the Catholic faith.
And we've also had Dustin Quick on. We've had Swansona on. We've had Father Paul Hulis on. So we are really, we've had E. Michael Jones on. We've had Kevin Simmons on. We had the Catholic Pilgrim, Amy Thomas, on. Again, Friday night, we're going to be having Maria Bain on, another author. We've had Avelina Balestri on. We're really doing really, really good things. So anybody that happens to be listening for the first time, we're doing really good things here at the Four Persons. And me and Luke Haskell are doing a series on the Gospel of Matthew. And we've got some great teachers here, Lewis, don't we? I mean, Luke is great. William is great. Ken is great.
God.
I was just saying, Luke is great, William is great, Ken is great. I just think that we've got a lot of really good things going on here. I'm really proud of the way things are going. And then, of course, we've got, you know, guys like you and Richard Pettis and Chantel Raines out there, you know, and Terry Delp kind of taking it to the front lines, to social media, to the streets, and getting the message out. And it's all, like you said at the beginning, doing God's work. And it's just really joyful and fulfilling.
Yes, it is. And I mean, you should be proud. We should be proud. But I, you know, you're the leader. I give you most of the credit. We should be proud because, I mean, look who you managed to get. You got a big names like Deacon Harold, who's legendary in the Catholic world and always active in the Catholic world. And we also had, like you just said, Scott Hahn. We've had big dogs with Swana. That shows that the fact that we've managed to get them on with their busy schedule show that, you know, this show is starting to become more recognized. And it's not for our glory, but it's becoming more recognized so we can spread the glory of Christ and his accurate teaching. And that's a wonderful thing. I consider myself probably the weakest. You know, I feel like I should continue on my journey of forming myself so I can serve the church better. But yes, we've come a long way, and I just want us to finally reach that 1,000 mark, you know, for followers in the page, and, you know, and see where we go from the future. Another topic that I wanted to bring up is media.
Uh-huh.
We have to be careful what we watch in the media, because the media as a whole has an extremely strong bias against the Catholic Church.
They sure do.
The Catholic Church is definitely on the top because they know that we are the true church. We're the church that gave birth to all the others. So they always target us. And again, they don't
try to
hide it anymore.
And I think, to be honest with you, I think that anti-Catholic bias is present in both the liberal media and the conservative media. They both have a hostility towards Catholicism, just from a different vantage point. But, you know, conservative media, for the most part, they're not friends with the Catholic Church by any stretch of the imagination. They have a very, very strong, you know, evangelical bent to them. Now, you know, it's probably
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's probably better than the strongly secular humanist bent on the other side, but still, you know, to consider them allies and friends of the Catholic Church, I think that would be, you know, a bit much. I would say, with the exception of Newsmax, I think Newsmax is pretty Catholic friendly. But I'd say they're the exception, not the rule, wouldn't you?
Yes. That's an exception, but for the most part, it's how we agreed. The media hates the Catholic Church, and I mean, it's not surprising because we were warned in Scripture and in church history we would be hated. We're the Church of Christ. So be careful. We should, you know, maybe form a way of giving people advice on how what to find out to watch on television. Because the anti-hatred towards Catholicism ball is everywhere. Look at cartoons that make up like them specifically seem to have a fascination with bullying and making fun of the Catholic Church.
Lewis, I think it's a great idea. Here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. I'm going to challenge you to put together a report for us on what you think are some of the trustworthy sources and sources that we should stay away from. Tell me how long you need to kind of put that together, and we'll do a show on it. And you can kind of show us what your findings are. Show us what you have found of internet sources, TV sources, YouTube sources. What are some of the good ones and some of the bad ones? And
a big source that I like is sources in what regard, by the way?
I'm just saying, put together, be ready to do a show and give us some recommendations on where Catholics should go or should not go to get reliable information that's not hostile to their values. And that could include internet sources. It can include TV sources, radio sources, you know, YouTube, print media, whatever it be.
I have two people right off the top of my head, and they're amazing, both Catholics that are very vocal about their faith, Matt Walsh and Michael Knowles from the Daily Wire. They are extremely, again, proud Catholics. They defend the faith with such passion, and they cover conservative news. Matt Walsh even did a show about it the other day, how the news above all hates the Catholic Church. And I just I love them. I find it extremely lucky for Ben Shapiro to have workers like them. Do you know the name of Candace Owens, John?
Yes, yes. I know her.
Well, her
yes,
husband,
absolutely.
She married a conservative Catholic man who's very, very loving of the faith,
mm-hmm.
traditional. And, she's slowly coming to the Catholic faith herself, and this is such an amazing thing. Catholicism has exploded on YouTube. Back when I was on YouTube, it was mostly Protestant-dominated, and now the amount of Catholic users that have appeared there in the past 5-7 years is insane, and I feel like this was destined to happen. Go ahead.
So how long do you think you would need to kind of put this together and for us to have a show? You need, like, a month, a couple of months,
a few weeks? Just 1 month.
1 month? Okay. So we'll circle back around the end of October, and we'll be interested in what your findings are, because it sounds like you've already, off the top of your head, given some really good sources. I mean, right off the top of your head, I mean, what are some of the sources that you would say are red flags? Stay away from them. Obviously, I would think that CNN and MSNBC are probably very high on that list.
Yes, pretty much all of the news stations are, because they're all controlled by the same people. Another person you should probably stay away from that's not very reliable. Yikes, there's a lot of someone that we should stay away from off the top of my head. No, I just said all the news stations have that bias, and I mean, they're controlled by the same people. We just saw a news station covering sex abuse in the Catholic Church, but they didn't cover all the sexual abuses in Protestant churches, even though they're happening more. Even secular people picked it up. Why doesn't they ever cover, the sexual abuses in public schools or in Protestant churches, which have it higher rates than Catholic churches? Why do they only specifically focus on the Catholic Church?
Well, because attacking those other groups doesn't fit their agenda. So, you know, another source I think that we should avoid, I think that we should avoid some of the, you know, the crazier conspiracy theory type of sites, like the Alex Joneses and, you know, people like that, that, you know, that come up with this crazy stuff, like 9/11 was an inside job and these school shootings are false flag, you know, staged events and, you know, just crazy stuff.
A YouTuber that was caught doing things like that was like the Vigilant Christian Mario. He said some true things, but at the end he turned out to be crazy. He turned out to be a drug addict. So, and again, he was Protestant. So, you know, Protestants are mostly the ones that come up with conspiracy theories, and it kind of makes sense because, you know, they're going by what their own interpretations say. They're not going by what the church has officially proclaimed.
Well, what they tend to do is go by emotion. That's their driving force, and all of their ideology, their driving force is emotion. Okay, so we're going to mark the calendar, and about a month from now, about 4 weeks from now, we're going to circle back with Lewis, and we're going to do a show on media sources that Catholics should and should not use. And Lewis, I really appreciate you calling in tonight, and you contributed some really, really great stuff. Have you heard from Richard? I know that he had that really serious leg injury, but I haven't heard from him since then. How is he doing?
I haven't heard from them either. They haven't said anything to me yet.
Well, Richard, if you're listening, know that you will be in our prayers.
We are praying for you, brother.
Yeah, we'll continue praying for you. In fact, why don't you do that now? Why don't you say a few prayers for Richard and for our mission to close us out tonight?
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, second person of the Trinity, please send your Holy Spirit on Richard and his wife and heal him of his leg injury or any of other injuries. Keep allowing him to be a strong servant of the church and us as well. Keep us focused on your ministry and getting through to people with their anti-Catholic biases and brainwashing. Help us to do it with charity and grace. Help us to keep always focused on you. Help us to always discard our own personal desires and just to focus on you. Make us into your saints. Make us into perfect servants like your mother was, Queen of Heaven. Forgive us if we fall and give us the strength and grace to continue to walk with you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. God bless you, brother, and you have a wonderful week. Until the next time, maybe we'll try to squeeze in a show on Saturday or Sunday. So God bless you, and until next time, I'll be in touch.
See you later, brother.
Right.
See you soon.